We are here. We're going to look at God's Word in Acts chapter 11. So if you've got your Bibles, you can turn there. You'll also see it printed in the bulletin in a few different languages and on the screen behind me. So we will read a portion in just a moment. We are going to be in Acts chapter 11. So this is a shift here in the book of Acts, a bit of a shift from Jerusalem as the focus in the areas around Jerusalem to a new city called Antioch, which is now going to be very central for the rest of the book of Acts. But it's not only a new city, it's also a new culture, moving from an area that was largely the Jewish people to an area that is focused on Gentiles and the nations. And so that's where we are today. I've often said that if our church wasn't called New City Fellowship, we would be called Antioch Christian Fellowship. Because there is so much in this church that reflects what we want to be about. So as we look at God's Word, would you please just pray with me a moment as we go to God's Word. Lord, the grass withers, the flowers fade. We are finite and frail, but your Word endures forever. So we humble ourselves before you. Teach us, Lord. Shape us and mold us into the people you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to start with verse 17, which is actually the end of Peter kind of retelling his story about what happened with Cornelius. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But this is kind of the last part of the sermon that Roy preached. And he's recounting back and he says to the leaders in Jerusalem, "If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I should stand in God's way?" When they heard these things, they fell silent and they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life." Amen. That's the end of Peter's recounting to the church in Jerusalem. And here we shift to Antioch. Now, those who were scattered because of the persecution, that goes back to Acts chapter 8 with Stephen, actually goes back about 14 or 15 years earlier. They were scattered over that persecution. They went as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. That is, they were speaking to people who were Greek speakers and part of the Greek culture. Different language, different culture. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. This report came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Now in those days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine all over the world. This took place in the days of Claudius, so the disciples determined, every one according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. I'm going to jump just and read a few verses in Acts chapter 13, because this also gives us a window into the church in Antioch. And here we read, "There was in the church in Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off." I guess it was a couple of years ago, our city got a wonderful new gift. A large building not far from here with a big blue and yellow sign. Some of you know what I'm talking about. We got IKEA, right, Donna? And if you go to IKEA, you can buy lots of furniture like I did with my son Sam about a year ago. And he was kind of setting up. We were setting up a new bedroom for him and bought a dresser and a bed for him. And so we put this together. And you know what I'm talking about, right? If you've ever tried to build, the great thing about the furniture is you can put it in your car easily. From there, it's a bit of a wrestle. Because you unpack this stuff and there's a... So the IKEA designers know what they're doing, right? They have a plan in mind for this furniture. And it's very precise, in fact. But if you're like me, you pull all the parts out and you start kind of looking at them and you say, well, this kind of looks like it goes here and this looks like it goes here and this goes here. And after a while, Sam and I are working on this thing and we realize that one of the drawers we're trying to put into the bottom of his bed is like upside down and backwards. See, if you're not actually following these little pictures, there's no words on their directions, right? But if you're not following these little pictures, these diagrams, pretty likely what you're putting together will not be as beautiful or functional as the designers have in mind. Right? Jesus has a plan for his church. We heard about it earlier. He said, I will build my church. Jesus has a plan for his church, but so often we kind of think we can do it our way. We'll figure it out. And after a while, sadly, the church is often not as beautiful or as useful as the Lord wants it to be. So what we want to see this morning is God's plan for the church in Antioch. We want to learn from what God was doing in this early church. We want to see God's design. We want to see a few things. I just want to unpack from this. And first thing is this, that the church is about a person. Say, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. The church is about a person. Come to Jesus. The church is about people. Say, no. Say, come together. Come together. And the church is about a purpose. Say, come to go. All right? The church is about a person. Come to. The church is about a people. Come together. The church is about a purpose. Come to go. There's the sermon. Amen. Lord's Supper. All right. We're going to unpack it a little bit. The church is about a person. Come to Jesus. The community of the early church in Antioch, in Jerusalem. It was a community that was focused on a person and his work, and that person is Jesus Christ. Remember the story. I'm just going to retell it a little bit, but this vision that Peter had, and he was given this vision of the sheet that was coming down, and there were different animals, and said, take, kill, and eat. And he says, surely not, Lord. And the Lord says, don't call anything unclean that I have called clean. And he says, go to this house and meet Cornelius. And as a result of that, the Lord came. He revealed himself. Those who were not part of the Jewish culture and the Jewish people came to salvation. The Holy Spirit was poured out. Peter went back to report on this, and the leaders in the church celebrate. No, they didn't celebrate. They criticized him because he was breaking the rules. He was eating with those who were unclean. And so he has to give a bit of a testimony. And thankfully, they receive it. But his testimony is this. He recounts the vision. He recounts the work of God. He recounts what God has done. And the main point is this. God has come down. He is calling all people to himself. And he says, if God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed, who was I that I could stand in God's way? And then we get to those who were scattered in Antioch. And notice in verse 20 and 21 of Acts 11 there, we see that they went about from Cyprus and Cyrene, spoke to the Hellenists, and they were preaching what? They were preaching a person. Come to Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned, in your text, turned to the Lord. The church is about a person. And here in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. People of the Christ. followers of the Christ, followers of the King. The church is not first a ministry strategy. The church is not first me. The church is not first you. The church is not first of all about our programs or our nursery or our youth group or our children's programs or our building. The church is not about fundamentally the denomination that we connect with or even our doctrinal distinctives. The church, the center of the church, is a person come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Sadly, if you were to ask, which I've done, a lot of people kind of out on the streets in our neighborhood, what comes to your mind when you think of the church? You know this, right? They'd have an answer other than Jesus. They would think about politics or how we vote or any number of things. And part of the reason is that is we have forgotten what we see here in Antioch, that the center of the church is Jesus. The church is just a community of people created in the image of God, fallen and messed up, broken like everybody else, who have heard the Lord Jesus say, come to me. And they've responded. They've listened to the Lord. In fact, in Galatians 2, and a lot of people, I think it's true, there's a connection, I think, between Galatians 2 and this part in Acts 11. So in Galatians 2, Paul talks about going back to Jerusalem, probably with this offering. And that's the very place where he gives us this great testimony. He says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The church is about a person. And what we see here in this passage is God is calling in Antioch some of the most unlikely people to himself. The Jewish people would have struggled to see what God was doing. They were those who were on the outside, those who were unclean. If you look at this part of Acts, we've had now the conversion of Saul and the conversion of Cornelius, a religious zealot, a soldier, a scholar, one who was seeking the Lord, a Jew and a Gentile. I want to just encourage you and remind you, the Lord is always calling you to himself. Come to Jesus. There's no qualification on that statement. But I. What about? If you only knew. Pastor, if you knew what I did this past week, you would know I've got to do some penance for a while. Come to Jesus. Pastor, if you knew what had happened to me, you would know the shame that I labor under. Please come to Jesus. If you knew what other people said about me and how I feel on the outside, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Zacchaeus was weary from his money and his loneliness, and Jesus said, I'm coming to your house today. There was a woman at the well, walking in sin, and Jesus said, I've got some water for you. Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need the doctor, but it's the sick. Come to Jesus. Young and old, rich and poor, men and women, Jew and Gentile. The call is for you and the call is for your neighbors. Do you believe that the gospel is good news for people that you live near and work with? Have you stopped believing that somewhere? I can stop believing that somewhere along the way. Oh, they're so cynical. They're so angry at the church. They're hostile to Christianity. They think they've got everything they need. Come to Jesus. I want to tell you about yesterday. It was a bit of a strange day for me. My family left. They went to be with some family in Indiana. It started off not so well because, you know, loading up the family in the car and all of the stuff that has to happen. And I will just tell you, I was not in that process. I was not overflowing with the fruit of the Spirit myself. And then they're gone. And then I wanted to go up to New Life Evangelistic Center. Many of you know our friends, the Rices, are in ministry there. And last night was the last night they were open. The city has shut them down. So I wanted to be there and just be with them. And I was seeing scores and scores of homeless people. And the brokenness, the mental illness, just the lack of hope. And I thought, I've got some time. My family's out of town. I want to just see the city a little bit. So I drove from there down Washington Avenue, all the businesses, and I went near the convention center and people who were gathering for whatever was going on there yesterday. Went around Laclede's Landing and drove by the riverfront, the tourists down by the arch. Ended up going down along the flood wall, and which is very interesting if you've never seen it. And then into Soulard, I went and grabbed some lunch, and I just walked the market. And I was burdened for this city. Jesus said, people are like sheep without a shepherd. And I saw that. And it grieved me. But I want people to come to Jesus. The church is about a person. Whatever else, let's renew our focus to just pray for those who don't yet know Jesus. That we would be the church like this that speaks of the Lord and sees people turn to the Lord. The church is about a person. Come to Jesus. All right, the next thing we see here is that the church is about people. Come together. The church is about people. Come together. I heard the story of a person that I'm connected with on Facebook, and she's a woman. I believe she's from India, and she is married to a white guy. She was visiting a church recently, and she showed up at this church, and people didn't know that she was connected to this other guy that was her husband because he was up front because he was a pastor and he was going to preach that day. And so she was kind of in the back of the church and talking with people, and she had a lot of questions. It was a largely white church that she was at, and a lot of questions, and finally they led to one person just saying to her, I'm just trying to figure out what you're doing here. Welcome to church. And here's what she wrote about it. And if you are not an ethnic minority, it might be hard for you to even kind of put yourself in those shoes. But here's what she wrote. Just because I'm in a different skin color than everyone else in the room does not mean I do not have a reason to be there. Am I not welcome to simply worship the living God with you? There's pain in those words. But part of the reality is, as Dr. King pointed out many, many years ago, Sunday is still one of the most divided and segregated times within the week in North America. In fact, there are even church planting principles that say that we should start churches that are completely homogenous, people who are just like one another, and if we do that, they will grow faster. So you have churches that are focused on white or black or young or old or rich or poor or educated or not educated, typically white and young and educated. But this is a strategy that some people have said will help the church to grow. We might take a little more mild approach to it and say, well, you know, it's natural. I've even heard people say this. They've said, God has revealed himself in creation. And if you look at creation, it's clear that birds of a feather flock together. And they've used this to rationalize kind of this principle, whether it applies to the church or marriage or other things. The problem is that the church is not a flock of birds. right? When the Bible talks about the church, it's a body. And the very point is that the parts are different, and because they're different, they belong to each other and they need one another. But that's kind of a different sermon. How does this connect to Acts 11 and to Antioch? I'm glad you asked. Antioch was a large multi-ethnic city where the nations were coming together. It was a core of commerce and a core of transport. If you were trying to get from one place to another, you were often going through Antioch. And Antioch was a city in which there were different languages, there were different cultures, and those who were scattered went there. They began preaching the gospel, not just to the Jews, but to the Hellenists, different language, different culture, and they came together. And when they came together, what you see in this passage is that there was not then the first Jewish church of Antioch, the first Hellenist church of Antioch, the first North African church of Antioch, the first Asian church of Antioch. There was simply the church. One of the reasons that they were called Christians, I believe, is that they didn't fit the other categories. People could have called them the Jews, because they were largely associated, early Christians were associated with the Jewish people. They could have called them Gentiles, but they were kind of mixed up in a way that perplexed people, and the word that they gave them was Christians. Especially, that's why I wanted to include Acts 13. If you notice among their leaders, you see the fact that they are together in one church, different languages, different nations. If you just look at that list, you've got Simon, who's from sub-Saharan West Africa, Lucius, Cyrene, that's near the coast of Africa, Libya, so North Africans who are there, Manaen, who was raised with Herod the Tetrarch, privileged upbringing within that culture, Paul and Barnabas, who were Jews, but they were immersed in Greek culture. You've got the nations gathered together in one church, Jew and Gentile, different cultures, one body. Peter said earlier, who was I that I should stand in God's way if this is what he's doing? Sadly, though, we can stand in the way of what God wants to do at times, can't we? We know where he's taking us. Every language, every nation, every tongue, every tribe gathered together around the throne. Was watching a video that's online. Some of you might have seen this. It's kind of a parody, but it's called Church Hunters. Anybody seen that? Church Hunters. And so it's this show about, you know, this consultant that you can hire to help you find your church. And so he goes around and he shows you, well, you might like this place. And it's actually very funny, but it's like, how many songs do they do? They do this many songs. How long is the sermon? How does the pastor dress? What's the coffee like? Oh, they're building. Oh, I don't know. It's a little too big. It's a little too small. Starts a little too early. They said the church had like services at 8 and 10:30 and 11 and 4 and 6. Oh, man, nothing at 2:15. Oh. I mean, honestly, we all want a church that's just right fit for us, don't we? We all want a place that feels comfortable. I get that. New City Fellowship, you've seen our logo, right? What's at the center? The church is about a person. Come to Jesus. And who's grasping the cross? Different cultures, different languages. The church is about people. Come together. And so as we come together around Jesus, we actually all have to give something up. Do you realize that? Do you know there's an intentional plan on the part of the leadership in this church that you would not be completely comfortable? How comfortable? I don't know. 60, 70% maybe. Maybe 80. But not 100%. Because if you're completely comfortable and we're actually trying to come together, then we've created an environment that is not home for someone else. Right? We're coming from different places. And part of loving one another, coming together like they did in Antioch, like they must have done in Antioch, means that we will lay down some of our preferences for the sake of one another. I want to just state the obvious here. In case you haven't noticed, I am a white, middle-aged man. Some of you think I'm kind of young. That makes me feel good. I also come from a middle-class background. I never worried about whether I was going to have food when I was growing up. I also didn't grow up in a place, I had to get a job when I was in high school. But I'm a white guy, middle-aged, from a middle-class background, and that shapes who I am in many ways. Some of the ways that I am aware of and some of the ways that I'm not aware of. I believe that Jesus is building a church where he wants us to come together. And not everybody should be like me. What that means is I have to be careful not to think of myself as normal. We tracking here? Because if I am normal and you come from Burma or from Liberia or from some other place or you grew up poor or rich or you're a female, if I am normal, then what are you? You're a wreck. Well, we're all wrecks, Donna. But you're not normal. No, but here's even more than that. If I'm normal, then what is Jesus? Huh? The Apostle Paul or Moses? You see, there are preferences that I have that I have to just be aware of. It's okay. I like this music. I like this style of a service. I like this type of relationship. You know what? If the church was designed completely according to my preferences, my culture, honestly, that's not the kind of church I would want to go to. Because I need you. I need to learn from you. I need to see the gospel through your lens. I need you to teach me. We need one another. The church is about a person. Come to. The church is about people. Come together. Come together. A few just words of encouragement here around that. It's an incredible vision that we see in Scripture all throughout. It takes time. When you read the book of Acts, sometimes you can think this all happened within a short period of time. Like I said, this is about 14 or 15 years after the persecution and the scattering of the church. And then after this, Peter, who had this vision, is going to have to be confronted by Paul because he kind of got it and then he didn't get it again. It's going to be a mess. We're going to struggle to get it right. Don't give up on the vision. And then also this, especially if you are part of an English-speaking culture, the majority culture here, be conscious about ways that you can give certain things up to walk together in relationship with others. All right, last thing I want us to see here. The church is about a person. Come to. Church is about people. And the church is about a purpose. Come to go. So real quickly, here in this passage, they were, of course, going. They were sent, many of them, from Jerusalem because of the persecution. But when they got to Antioch, these are people who were refugees who had been scattered because of the persecution. When they got to Antioch, did they simply hole up, kind of build their protective place within that new city and wall themselves off? Of course they didn't. They're in this city, which is a strange place, and they're sharing the good news of the gospel with their neighbors. Peter says it this way, always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have. You are called by the Lord to be a witness to Jesus. I know that you are surrounded with people who don't yet know his love. Have you prayed for them recently? Have you asked the Lord to ordain a conversation that would allow you to share some good news with them? Let's be people who share the good news. Not only that, they sent this money to the poor. Go share the good news. Go serve the poor. So these are, again, refugees who had come from Jerusalem. They're in Antioch, and they hear through this prophecy about a famine. Just by the way, for those who might wonder about the historicity of the New Testament, this famine is well documented in other historians. So you can look, find the exact date when this famine took place. Lines up completely with what Luke is writing about here. But this famine takes place, and their first response is not what ours might often be, which is what? There's a famine coming. Am I going to be okay? No, they're saying there's somebody else who's in greater need than I am. And they gladly take up an offering, and they give according to their ability. That's good news, right? God doesn't expect you to give what you don't have. How has he blessed you, and what is his purpose for what he's given you? And it's not fundamentally for yourself. Go and give. And then finally here, go and send others. Acts 13, the reason I wanted to read this is we're going to get into this more in the coming weeks, but we see that Antioch is this hub where they had joined together people from different cultures and nations, but from there they went to the nations. It was the sending place for all of Paul's missionary journeys. And not only, we can look at that and we can say, well, that's really cool. Who had been teaching for the last year in Antioch? Barnabas and Paul, right? Who does the Holy Spirit send out? Barnabas and Paul. How would that have felt if you were part of the First Church of Antioch? Scary. I mean, there's something about it that's really cool, but it's a loss, right? It's a sacrifice. The Lord is taking some of the most gifted who have influenced us and sending them off for his purposes. So we think about the history of our church and Rose and Macklin. And Calm and Loon, who have been here, John and Virginia, and Sean and Amber and Hayes and Sally, and so many others. I want to just encourage you that the Lord is working through them in fruitful ways around this country and around the world. And that is part of our purpose. Come to go. Come to go. The church is about a person. Church is about people. The church is about a purpose. Come to go. Now, what if you struggle to do those things? Because I do. I struggle to remember Jesus. I struggle to love people who are different from me. I struggle to give myself and lay down my life. If you're with me in that, I want to just remind you of the good news. Jesus said, I will build my church. And I want to point you to where Dr. Perry's going to take us right now. Greg, would you come on up? Because the Lord longs to feed you this morning. The Lord longs to strengthen you this morning and remind you that his grace is sufficient for people just like you and just like me. Was reminded again of this promise yesterday. It was so encouraging to me. So encouraging to me. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. You receive that this morning, church? He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Jesus, we look to you this morning. We need you. You're so beautiful. You're so good. But our eyes often get distracted. Our heart often wanders. Help us, Lord. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and make a circle and come to the Lord's table together.
The Lord has prepared a feast for us.